This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Thanks, James, for program support on the front desk, and to Liam for panelling for us today. And this morning, my co-host is the awesome Madeline Swain. Saturday Magazine on Independent Joy Media is proudly brought to you by Hyundai Australia, driving change.
From Joy 90.
Makes me think, you know, I must get Peter Hitchener, one of our ambassadors, along with Lord Mayor Sally Capp, must get him back in on a Saturday, get him to read the news one day, but he plays golf, so I'm not sure about that. Anyway, look, this is Saturday Magazine, Joy's Night, Joy 94.9's longest-running news and current affairs show since 1996. This is the Saturday 22nd of April edition in what should be, and we all hope, will be the year of the voice. Liam's on panel. Thanks to James for program support and our podcaster, James. It's a bit of an overcast day, but let's get on with it. Good morning, Madeline. How are you?
Good morning, Macca. I'm very well, thank you. How are you?
I'm pretty good. Now, I was been following the Fox News defamation action in the US. And defamation in the US is quite different to here. But also the Lachlan Murdoch action against Crikey, which he decided... I think, was it yesterday or
it
Thursday?
Yesterday.
Anyway, to...
Discontinue
the action.
Do you want to know the reasons?
Yeah.
His reasons were he did not wish to further enable Crikey's use of the court to litigate a case from another jurisdiction that has already been settled and facilitate a marketing campaign designed to attract subscribers and boost their profits. So he didn't want Crikey to make any more money out of the affair.
So he didn't say that he didn't want Fox News to run a marketing campaign based on lies.
No, there was no mention of that. And there was also no mention
attract
of the
subscribers.
Fact that they just lost $1.17 billion.
I know. What a huge amount.
I mean, anybody has that much money that they can lose it in a lawsuit and sort of shrug it off. I mean, that must have been at least a little bit painful.
Well, you'd think so. Mm. So, of course, you know, I was surprised in a way that Lachlan Murdoch decided to park his action.
Mm.
And the comments by his lawyer were, oh, well, you know, we were very, very confident we would win and everything. Oh, so I suppose when I'm winning a race, I always pull off to the sidelines. I don't continue wanting to win.
Well, is it just about optics that they know that they it looks bad to have such a Goliath going after such a David? I mean, we've been watching the Crikey case very closely in our company because they're a very similar website to the one that I work on, Arts Hub, about the same sort of size, independent also. I'm not sure how independent Crikey is. I think they are. About the same number of journalists. And defamation is a huge issue for publishers, traditional publishers, but also publishers on websites these days, because it's a moving feast and a moving goalposts. In my company, we had to all sign a document this week to renew our insurance that we understood defamation law and that we sort of acknowledged all the rules and that we would abide by them. But a lot of the things that we were signing actually sort of said, but this is still being checked and this is still there were amendments to defamation law in Australia in 2021 that only apply to some of the states, I think. And so things that are published nationally, you can get into all sorts of murky waters. And all the way through this document that we signed, it says, well, this is still being decided.
A work in progress.
So it's a really difficult thing to prove. I mean, to be accused of defamation, there has to be these three things. It has to be the communication was published to a third person. The communication identifies or is about the plaintiff. and the communication is defamatory of the plaintiff. But other than those sort of three rock-solid things, there is so much grey, so many grey areas, and, and it's it's an incredibly hard thing to navigate sometimes. So with the Crikey issue, obviously if they'd lost, that would have been the end of Crikey, no matter how much money they raised. So we have been watching that very carefully, and we were all kind of relieved in our office that it's been put to bed, at least for the moment.
And, you know, it's an area of law that, you know, is a speciality for a lot of lawyers and barristers. And, you know, it's very complex, you know, because those, you know, what is defamation? And obviously Lachlan Murdoch believed he'd been defamed, mm-hmm. and that's why he brought his case. The voting machine company thought they'd been defamed.
Correct.
And that's why they brought their case. And, of course, they didn't win their case. The case was settled. So, you know, Fox News would say they didn't lose it. The voting machine company can't say they won it. But they reached a settlement. But I would have thought a billion-dollar, well over $1 billion Australian in a settlement. I'll leave it to the listener to think what, you know, what they think.
But it is a minefield, because the difference between somebody having their feelings hurt or something being defamatory, that also can be argued, and it can be argued in a court of law. So it's an incredibly difficult topic. And if I don't know that you're going to get this with Fox and Dominion. Well, obviously they did in the end.
Yeah.
They got them into a room to sit down and say, how can we sort this out and just settle it? Well, there they did it with money. But I had a lot of thoughts about this morning, because I was watching a film about Angela Merkel, which is a documentary called Merkel that's going to be in the next German film festival. I think it starts next month. And there was a woman who ran Germany for 16 years and was ostensibly the head of the European Union at that time, wasn't she? And the way she did that was by diplomacy and by conciliation or
mediation
and trying to get opposing forces into the room to sit down and just talk it out or find some common ground. And I think, you know, when she stepped down from power, and when we lost people like Ruth Bader Ginsburg, who did the same thing
in the Supreme Court in the US,
the world's all been a bit more antagonistic ever since, and it's hard.
And I think, you know, that's sort of a bit of a segue to the discussion about The Voice. Mm. And, you know, a shadow minister resigning from the front bench, previous minister for Indigenous Affairs resigning from the Liberal Party, Jacinta Price being appointed shadow minister. And I was actually searching through old Saturday Magazine podcasts, and I found a podcast we spoke to Jacinta Price when she was an Alice Springs councillor.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll post that on social media, on Twitter later today, so people can have a listen to it. But there doesn't seem to be in this, call it discussion, I'm not going to call it an argument, there's no middle ground. You know, you've got two views. You have the government's view and you have the opposition's view. None of those, either side, are not 100% on side with their view. There are people in the government that have some reservations or some concerns, just as there are in the opposition about their position. But the middle ground is about as barren as, you know, stepping off the road somewhere in the Nullarbor and walking a couple of hundred metres. There's nothing there.
But the difficulty is that if it's a yes or no vote.
Yes. There isn't a perhaps vote. So I think the challenge there is that let's assume you have two outcomes one of two outcomes in the referendum. You have a yes vote gets enough support in enough states to pass. And then the government says it will legislate for the machinery and the structure and everything of The Voice. Let's assume that the referendum doesn't pass. Anthony Albanese has indicated that he would still legislate. So you've then got, you know, a discussion about, okay, well, what is the voice going to look like? How's it going to be structured? I'm of the view, and I use marriage equality as a bit of an example. In, okay, we didn't have a referendum. We had a postal survey. It wasn't a plebiscite. We had a postal survey.
Yep.
But the big difference there was there actually was legislation that had been tabled in Parliament, albeit private members' bill, by Dean Smith, Senator Dean Smith, and that was on the public record. So people could actually, and it did get disseminated out, people could actually look at what the legislation said, what the potential, you know, who would be affected, who wouldn't be affected. So people had an idea about what it would look like. The only concern I have with the voice, and I'm sure this will get some response, I would have liked to have actually seen the legislation tabled as to what the voice will look like before we vote. Now, I know they're two separate issues. You know, enshrining First People, First Nations people in the Constitution, hugely important. Now, that is a separate issue. That's recognising them. That's a separate issue to the voice, but they're inextricably linked.
Mm.
So that would have been my preference. But, you know, the government is of the view, no, we have the referendum and then we will legislate and the parliament will quite rightly decide. So let me just quickly touch on who we've got on the show today. Carla Pincott, who's the communications director, and I'm sure she'll correct me if I'm wrong, from the Centre for Independent Studies, who actually help us in sourcing some talent. Professor Richard Hare, University of Tasmania. We're going to talk about a bit of an extended chat about the Solomon Islands, Australia's Pacific Island relationships, and are Penny Wong and Paul Keating going to kiss and make up? Can't imagine that. Then Carolyn Gillespie, who's the acting CEO of Thorn Harbour Health. There was a harm minimisation conference just recently and Thorn Harbour took part in that. Then Jordan Gray, who's a comedy festival finalist.
Absolutely.
Hopefully he's got some good lines for us.
Sorry,
I wasn't sure. There we go.
Yeah, she is.
Then Ben Vassalou, who's the CEO of Youth Projects, and about taking a stand against schools excluding LGBTQIA plus youth. And finally, Dr. Claudia Nguyen from the city of Yarra, who's going to talk about the children's farm, what's going on in Yarra. And I reckon they might have been a bit of a count up how many greyhounds there are in the city of Yarra, because I'd asked that previously. So that's the show for today. As I said, I'm Macca. My co-host is Madeline Swain. Liam's on panel. You are on Saturday Magazine, Joy 94.9. Stay with us.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.